50 States of Joy has been our sermon series for the last few weeks. It has been a preaching initiative sponsored by the Yale Center for Faith and Culture and our friend Alan Hilton, at House United. And it's really more of an invitation of sorts to simply begin preaching and talking about joy. And it's rooted in Bible verses like this one from the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete." Alan Hilton's contribution to 50 States of Joy is a study guide based on the book of Philippians. And as Megan said earlier, we are looking at Philippians in our Sunday morning Bible study because of the way joy radiates off of its pages. Joy is mentioned 15 to 16 times. On average, about every 7 verses, you hear the word joy or some variation thereof. If you would like a copy of Alan's study for your own personal use, please let me know or let the office know, and we will make sure to get one into your hands. Also, my first shameless plug of the day, it's never too late to join our Sunday morning Bible study on Philippians. We start at 9 each and every Sunday morning. Please feel free to join us. Ultimately, the 50 States initiative is rooted in this reflective and rhetorical question that is found on the Yale Center website. Joy is not usually the first word that comes to people's minds when asked about Christianity or the church. But what if it was? That's the root of this initiative and this sermon series. And while 50 States is certainly a national effort, with the 50 being a reference to the geographical boundaries in our country, you also might understand 50 States as a reference to an emotional or a spiritual boundary, if you will. What are the different states of joy that we can experience? Jeff said a few weeks ago that we can choose joy, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And the question even came up as a result of that in our Bible study. How do we do that? How do we choose joy in the midst of our circumstances? That kind of leads me to our second shameless plug, again for our GFC seniors. Come to our chat and chew on Tuesday. But in order to figure out how we choose joy, I think the first step, what we first have to do, is look at what brings us joy. What brings you joy? As I look at today's bulletin, I see 3 things. I see motherhood, I see music, and I see matriculation. It's tough to find a text that fits all those. But I think I've done it, and I think I've kept the alliteration going as well. I found motherhood, music, and matriculation in Mary's Magnificat. The Magnificat is Mary's song of praise as a soon-to-be mother, in honor of all that God has done in and through her. And on this day especially, it's important to note that Mary is also seen by some, certainly like those like Joseph Campbell, as sort of our archetypal mother figure, and also as an expression, if you will, of all of the feminine qualities and characteristics of God that have a difficult time getting expressed, certainly in the world of the Bible, a very patriarchal sort of world. And because Mary's song is a long text, and because we will hear the song in just a bit, I will just share a few of the verses that are significant for today. This is the Gospel according to Luke. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is God's name. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has put down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lonely. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but the Magnificat is thought by some to actually be a cover song of sorts of another song in the Old Testament. Who knows what a cover song is? Choir certainly does. Who knows what a cover song is? Who can tell me? Right there, Jeff.
Somebody covers somebody else's song.
When somebody covers somebody else's song. I'm not sure if Green Day has any cover songs, but I know you like a good Green Day song. I can tell. That's exactly right. When you've got an original song that's sort of an oldie but a goodie, it could use an update and maybe bring some new things to bear. Same songs, similar circumstances, with new interpretation. Mary's cover originates with the character of Hannah in the Old Testament, who's celebrating the birth of her son, Samuel, who was the prophet who anointed Saul as the first king of the Israelites. And don't get me wrong, it's a great story, but it's another sermon for another day. But for now, here are a few of the lyrics to Hannah's song of praise and thanksgiving. See if it sounds familiar. See if it sounds like a cover to you. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My strength is lifted high because no one is righteous like the Lord. No one is holy like our God. Those who were full now long for food. But those who were hungry are hungry no more. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. The Lord humbles and exalts. He raises the poor from the dust heap and lifts the needy from ashes. The author of Luke's gospel has Mary cover, or sample, if you will, Hannah's song, which covers the major themes of God's redemptive actions in history. And sampling, if you know, those of you who are technologically minded, is sort of like half a cover song. It's where you take a riff or a phrase or a hook that points you back to the original and reminds you that it may be an oldie, but it's still a goodie. And sometimes these passages, Mary's and Hannah's, are referred to as prayers, but more appropriately, they are songs. They are indeed hymns of praise that celebrate the goodness and graciousness of God. We no longer have the music, but we do indeed have those lyrics. And our special hymn today, in many ways, as Alma mentioned, is an oldie, but a goodie. It's a cover, in a sense, a new arrangement, a new setting to a familiar text. At one time, Alma, you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but this tune and this hymn has a long history. Originally, there were different words to the original tune that eventually became a cover of the original. So you've got a long, wonderful history with this hymn. And this morning, we've discovered how appropriate these words are to our setting today, and how they can connect with the story of Hannah and Mary. We heard in the first verse, when in our music, God is glorified, and adoration leaves no room for pride. Think back to Hannah's lyrics and Mary's lyrics, who talked about how the proud would be scattered and the lowly lifted up, how God would exalt those who are low and in need, It is as if the whole creation cried, Alleluia. This verse, much like our other songs and hymns and prayers, invites us, it reminds us to set aside ourselves and to look to God and to join with all creation in worship and praise. And so we've talked about motherhood. We've talked about music. Now, how are we going to work in matriculation? Watch this. Technically, matriculation means enrolling in or getting accepted into college. But today, in order to keep the alliteration consistent and stay true to the spirit of cover songs and sampling, I'm going to use part of that definition and apply it to our context today. I'd like to use it to describe enrolling in or getting into life. Matriculating into a new phase. Generally for all of us, and generally spoken true for the Yale interns, but specifically for our Yale grads. Remember in our text, the poor and the hungry are lifted up, which actually might be a pretty accurate way to describe grad students these days, right? Hashtag school loans, hashtag ramen noodles. Thank you. In our scripture text, we see God lifting up the lowly, moving them to a new status, matriculating into honor. And I want to focus on this idea of moving up, moving on, moving into a next phase of life, because as Jeff said, next week a few of our Yale interns will graduate out of one school and matriculate into another. The school of life. The school of hard knocks, the university of experience. They will see the world in fresh new ways, with fresh new eyes. You could say that this idea of discovery and development is even found in our hymn text again this morning. How often making music we have found or discovered or matriculated into a new dimension in the world of sound as worship moved us to a more profound Alleluia. What that verse tells me is that through music and worship, as Alma said, we matriculate into mystery. Word and music is brought together to propel us to a new experience. So if I was going to cover this hymn, which they didn't ask me to do, Alma, by the way, as a pastor, not necessarily composer, I might add a verse or two to the lyrics. I would not change the arrangement. I wouldn't change the tune. That's perfect. You're welcome. If I was going to cover this hymn, or the hymns of Hannah and Mary, I would add a verse or two to make it unique to my experience. I might sample one or two of the great themes from Philippians about learning the secret of being content, about forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, about the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds. But let me also invite you to write your own verse, your own cover version, if you will, like Mary and Hannah, that celebrates and honors what God is doing in your life, in and through you. How does your soul magnify the Lord? Why does your spirit rejoice in God? What does the hymn of your life look and sound like? Because when God is glorified, not only in our music, but also in our hearts, we matriculate, so to speak, into abundant life. We matriculate into unspeakable joy. Amen.